This past week, the Anti-Defamation League reported that acts of anti-Semitism have increased in America by 383% since October 7th, when, of course, Hamas perpetrated their attack against Israel. Here are some of those many acts of anti-Semitism that have happened in this short period of time. On October 8th in Clifton, New Jersey, Carvath individuals holding Palestinian flags appeared to intentionally swerve out of its lane, almost hitting what was a visibly Jewish family. October 10th out in Los Angeles, an individual shouted, "I am Hamas," and made death threats to Jewish individuals who were standing by a kosher restaurant. October 12th in Indianapolis, a man carrying an Israeli flag was allegedly assaulted by a pro-Palestinian protester. In New York City, October 15th, an individual allegedly punched a Jewish woman in the face at Grand Central Terminal. And when she asked why, he responded, "You're Jewish." While many of these examples of anti-Semitism have been committed by generally older people, the younger among us have also spewed this hatred for Jews. Here are some of those recent instances from college campuses. At Rutgers, online death threats against a Jewish fraternity member. At Drexel University, swastika and anti-Semitic graffiti on campus bathroom walls. Cornell University, a Jewish community center, had to be placed under police guard after online anti-Semitic threats. Out in California, Pomona College, a Jewish student assaulted when just simply passing by a pro-Palestine rally. And at Columbia University in New York City, an Israeli student assaulted after posting photos of Israeli hostages. Although difficult, it is possible to understand how someone older can wrongly embrace hatred over time. But why are the younger among us so quick to hate to a degree like the examples I just shared? Overall, there are those whose lives are empty, so they seek a purpose, for lack of a better word, which we see as evil, but they see as a place for them to stand with others who are like-minded. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10 tells us that evil actually needs no reason in order to exist. Reading here, the bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. Jesus points out in John chapter 15, verse 25, how even he was subjected to hatred for really no reason. Jesus speaking, "But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, 'They hated me without a cause.'" For those college students we see and hear about who are supporting Hamas, who are slaughtering innocent adults and children in absolutely horrific ways, beheading, burning them alive, that's a case of ignorance brought about by an absence of teaching about truth. There was a study a couple years ago by the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany found that 1 in 10 young Americans aged 18 to 39, 1 out of 10, believe that the Holocaust never happened. Almost a quarter, 23%, believe it's a myth or that the number of Jews who were killed have been exaggerated. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 addresses those people. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, for those who are older, Jesus dissects what they're all about in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." The question becomes, how do we respond to this hate? Romans chapter 12, verse 21 provides us with a strong foundation as a starting point. Reading here, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." At the same time, we shouldn't allow evil to impact us. This is what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 also gives us important instruction. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now, how do we expose that darkness? By laying before those who hate truth and knowledge. That instruction is placed before us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Of course, Jesus gave us a new commandment when he called on us to love others as we love ourselves. Those who hate others actually hate themselves. So do all you can to counsel them. Help them confess what's behind their self-hatred and make every effort to show them the way to God's light, which comes from him, God's word. Will this be like flicking a switch inside that person? No. But if we have love for those who have fallen into the darkness of Satan, we go into this battle carrying 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 engraved within us. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.